It's interesting, yesterday we put a little sign on the truck yesterday that said June 6, 1944, and I had people ask me, what's that? Isn't it interesting how soon we forget things? Almost 5,000 men died yesterday trying to take back a continent from a madman who took a cross, twisted the ends of it, and called it a political movement. I wonder if God's interested in where we're at. In this nation today, we have a problem. It's called moral leukemia, and you have a nation that is built on the morality of those who will be governed. As I sat and talked with a young man yesterday, he was talking about some things. You know, you can always find common ground, and then I find a good way to lose votes every time I talk to people. I said, tell me about your life, and he said, I'm living with a young lady, and I said, why are you doing that? You just told me you believe this, this, and this. Your life doesn't represent it. And that's where we're at today. Jacob's looking at me like, you said what? Folks, we're in a time where we don't have time to be pretentious about what's going on. Okay? The young people are coming back. Men are coming back to the church. If we will step up, there is a field white to harvest. But if we will trade convenience for the truth, we will watch this one go by just like others did. And 5,000 men just hit me thinking about that yesterday. Died trying to storm a beach because people didn't say, that is not truth. I don't know if you hear it today. Everything that Israel does is not correct. I don't understand some of the things they do. But you can hear it. There's an anti-Semitism growing again, and we need to be sensitive to what's going on. I appreciate my sister with the tea. We're just a family, aren't we? And so I appreciate you saying that today. I do want to say something on the UFO topic, and that is don't panic. And here's why. Solomon said it, right? There is nothing new under the sun. Folks, we have had spiritual warfare going on for years, but we think we're too sophisticated, right? That spiritual things don't exist. There are things in the heaven, but as we're going to look at today, we seek what is above, and then we will understand what's going on. We can tackle any subject as long as we have the biblical knowledge to look at what God says about it. In my personal opinion, okay, I've not found one thing. I got a degree from Mizzou, and I've never found one thing from there that taught me anything contrary to the Word of God that was true. In the field of education, psychology, counseling, anything, it does not matter. The Word of God is true. And every man's philosophy besides that, if it agrees with God, I can use it. I use some things in my class with counseling. But there are things that don't agree with God's Word. We're going to talk about one of them today, and that is, I went to some, it was interesting when I went, sorry, I'm not taking your time, am I? When I went to Mizzou one day, I walked into class. We drove back and forth. But I walked into class one day, and there was a chair, and this lady is yelling at the chair. Okay? Mom, you were never there for me, and you did all, you're right? This is one of my counseling classes that I had to go through. Folks, that does not agree with Scripture. Anger produces anger. You don't get over yourself by yelling at an empty chair or thinking about how people did you wrong, okay? It's time for us to say this. God is interested in every area of our life. Do people need counseling? Yes, biblical counseling. We need to come back to the truth. Whew, okay, enough of that, right? There's nothing new under the sun. All right, as we start today, as we get ready to read the Scripture, I was compelled by another thought. I was thinking about the young guys. So I always like coming back here because I feel young. I know I'm a silver slipper pitcher, sneaker, whatever silver thing I am. My problem is my wife's too young, plus 10 right there. Just got 10 points right there. But I like to hang around those guys right here in the middle. See those big strong workers there? They look paid, and you guys are all looking all right. But I was thinking about you guys this morning. I loved King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Did you guys read that as boys and read all, huh? Well, you should. Okay, Elizabeth, that's it. homeschool, let's get the curriculum back out. It's time to read that. But one of them, Galahad, was my favorite. But there was another one named Lancelot. And he was disgraced and driven from the court. I won't go into his indiscretions or what happened. You boys can read that. See, that's I planted a seed. Now you want to go read that. But with Lancelot, this was his punishment. Does anybody know what his punishment was, by the way? Very severe. He was forced to wander and never engage in battle again, so he simply rusted. Is that where we're at today? Are we just rusting? We just don't know God's word. We're not engaged. We're not trying to reach people as much. Well, in our Sunday school, we're working on it today. And Kayla, I appreciate you sharing that. Kayla's like, I'm going to tell you this. Our person, I know there's other people, but one of the people leading VBS gave a testimony today, and I'm confident that when those kids come, they're going to hear the word of God. It's one of our great outreaches. I know we have how many missionaries back there, but VBS is one of our great missionary outreaches, and I appreciate that. But he had to wander and rust and tell them, folks, engage in the world because that's what knocks off the rust. And how will they know if they do not hear? Blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news. All right, let's read our scripture and we'll get started today. That wasn't even on there. How's that? That's terrible, isn't it? Colossians 3, the elders wrestled this week for who got to teach this one. And so we agreed that we put out a little Bible there, and whoever got to the Bible first got to teach it. And so Andy and Dwayne were wrestling, and I just went over and grabbed it, and so they got distracted. No, these are great verses. They really are. But listen, all of God's word, right? All of it. But anyway, let's read it together, and then I'm just going to go through some things. You've got your notes in front of you. Why don't you read it with me? If you'd like to stand, you can. You don't have to. But if you would, this is God's word. Here we go. Verse 1, Colossians 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Bless the reading of God's word. You can have a seat. As we looked at this, Andy was really good this week. I've worked on this for 2 weeks because I had some things going. And I don't know, was it 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning when I sent that out? So sometimes I just sit at that table. It's the only time I've got. I sent it out. He's sending things back. I got confused. And anyway, I'm just going to open up to you today. You're going to see how I study. Here's another example in what I do. Okay? So let's look at this. I've written some things out for you, and I want to just say, here's what I do. Okay? Number one, I start looking at the phrases. First thing I do is I look at that if-then statement, right? There's a logical statement then, if this, then that. So I looked at that, and I looked at the if. And then I go to the literal translation. My poor wife, I got books all over the place in my house. My house is a mess. My office is a mess. But I know where everything's at, and I go from one to the other. Well, I get the literal translation. Here's what it says. In the bold, we're going to come back to it. Those are all the literal translations. If, and then Christ up. Recognize your raising. The first thing we do is say, I have been raised in life because I was delivered in death with him. That's why we do baptisms, right? That pictures buried in death, risen to new life. Where Christ is, okay? One of the things we struggle with today is we got Jesus in sandals and he's walking around and he's nice to people. Jesus Christ is on the throne. If you want to go to Revelations and find out what he looks like, right? He is seated on his throne. There is a sword piercing out of his mouth, fire out of the... This is a God who is to be feared with trembling. And yet, we can go through the veil, it tells us in Hebrews, and we have full access. But he is seated at the right hand of God. We're told then to put our mind where he is. Set your mind on Christ. Second thing, as I look this up, then, that second word, then, and then it goes on to this word, seek. This is where Andy helped me this week. There's actually three kind of letters that, if you will, the very first word, Zeta, is the number 7. it pictures perfection, completion. Then you go on to the next two words, zeto. Okay, in my Bible, I've got toe written on it, continual. And then finally, the zayin, which is the Hebrew form of this word, which means to weaponize or to arm. So when you start putting those together, you realize, wait a minute, we are armed to have a continual pursuit of perfection. Because that's where Christ is. It's not something we have to do because he already did it. All we're doing, it's like if you're going to play a football game and you walked on the field and it said 100-0 and your team already, the scoreboard was out, it's over, and you get to go play the game and you can't even make a mistake. You just go in there, whatever the coach tells you, that's what you do, you've already won. That's where he is, that's what he's done. The third thing I looked at then is Christ is. He is seated. Psalm 1 tells us that he's exalted. And this was interesting in the verbiage there, in the right hand, communion with God. So it's not even like you think about the Trinity, it's not like they're separated, but they are completely together. That's one of the things we love about what's going on in our church right now. We're feeling a real sense of communion. And then the fourth thing there, to think up, right, or mind up. We perceive, we take, we understand that from Philippians we are eternally in heaven. So then I put all those together, so you could say this literally if we put this in bold. Christ up, seek Christ where he is, and think up. Christ up, seek where he is, and think up. Or if I would exposit this, and this is my words, this is not scripture, if you read along, I'm just showing you where I was at. Recognize your shared baptism. You were dead and buried and justified, but then he raised you up and he is continuing to sanctify. So we should focus our earthly activity. That's going to be important, by the way. It's not that we don't have earthly activity. We have it. But it should be focused on things that have eternal significance. Okay? So Kayla, she talked today. You didn't know I was going to use you today. She said she struggled, right? Because she's brilliant. She's CFO at a bank. She's been a teacher. She knows math. She is. And she said, but I went back to be a mother, and I thought, where's that significance? By the way, people struggle with that. Our significance is in him, right? It's not that earthly activities are not what we have to do, but we view those activities as what? They're heavenly. What we do in our activities in earth can be godly in the way that we do those. Why do we do that? Because that's where he's seated, resting in his finished work, which I have in parentheses there, which includes your life. Christ is the continual communion within the Godhead. And then I wrote, don't you see? Can't you understand? I'm talking to myself. It's kind of like the scripture saying, take it in. Meditate on the fact that your home, your treasure, your future is in heavenly residence. Relax. You're already home. Live that way. So that's where I was at. I started there. I kind of look at that, and then I start breaking it down. Okay, so let's go on. This is the practical application of what we've been doing for these first two chapters. Number one, why do you seek your first blank, the living among the dead? Isn't it interesting? That's one of the first things the angel said when they came to the tomb, right? Why are you at the tomb? He's not here. Folks, in our life, I think he would say to us, why are we seeking living things in dead things? What makes those things alive? It's when Christ becomes a part of that, right? You might look at it and say, oh, it's just the boring routine. We're VBS. We're painting some stuff. There is life in that if you're doing that for Christ. That's where we find. We find the eternal purposes in even the things we're doing on the earth. Secondly, we strive for that which is alive. Perceive what you have already received. Strive for what's alive. Perceive what you've already received. I love stories. Samson and that girl, by the way, never let your kids date a Delilah, but that's another story, right? We look at Samson and we look at the lesson there, right? Samson broke his vows because he took his eyes off of God. In fact, it's interesting in that He paid with his physical eyes for what his earthly eyes told him he had to possess, because he was warned clearly, do not, right? And he did it anyway. But do you know, he had a vow, so Nazarites, by the way, that's why Jesus is often pictured with long hair. They couldn't touch dead things. It was one of their vows. Samson didn't break his vow when he got his hair cut. It was long before that. And some of you remember the story. He had killed a lion to God's glory. He comes back months later, and there's a beehive inside the carcass, and he reaches in to grab some honey. What does he do? He takes the great thing. This is a temptation for all of us. The miracle that God had done, and he reaches in and he says, I'll possess it. I'll take credit. I'll take the honey from that dead carcass. That's when Samson, it took months or years later, but that's when he broke his vow. We cannot be putting our hands into dead things, and we cannot take credit in things that God is doing. That is the lesson of Samson. The lion was the victory, but the honey was the defeat. Section 2, this zeteo. I looked at Matthew 6:33. Many of you will know that, right? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all, they'll be added unto you, right? It's not that the things on earth, again, don't matter. It's then how we use them. Did Jesus use physical bread to feed people? Yes, right? We've been talking about all this Gnosticism and asceticism, all these people kind of act like, well, you know, earthly things. Listen. Somebody asked me a question the other day about, why are you doing this? A dirty business you're in? I said, if you had a sewer line broke, would you call a plumber? Well, yeah. I said, people love a plumber when the sewer's broke, right? A plumbing is a godly pursuit when you're helping people. My brother's a lineman. 2 o'clock in the morning, I want somebody fixing the line when the electric's out. That's a godly pursuit. Everything that we do is godly if we are seeking first the kingdom in what we're doing. So Jacob, when you're hauling cattle, Jacob says, I don't know, you ever haul cattle before, right? It's a godly pursuit, because you may run into somebody where you're able to bear witness. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. Right, Dennis? Everywhere you go, you're ready to give that answer. So how do we look at that? Once life is recognized, fearful followers, think of the disciples, fearful followers become passionate proclaimers. Jesus will change your life if we allow him to invade the everyday. It's not just when we're sitting reading the Bible. It's when you're getting gas, right? Dwayne told that story sometime back where he's getting gas. God told him, right, I should help that lady out next to me. We have to look for opportunities to allow that kingdom first mentality to flow through our life. Become a passionate proclaimer, not just a fearful follower. Living sacrifice begins by being. It's interesting, one of the things I've taught for years in my class is this. We always think teachers about, it's the knowledge that they give. Jesus said, when the time is accomplished, the disciple will become like the teacher. So parents, Kayla, VBS, all of you, you teach, you do the things, you prepare, that's right. But here's what we want. We want our kids to be able to look at us and say, I follow Christ because you followed Christ. That's what Paul said. That's pretty bold, isn't it? That's what I have a hard time living up to, Ryan. You know what I mean? Is, can I really say that? My mom, I've told this story before. I was probably not living the way I should have one day, and she said to me, remember this, you're the best Christian somebody knows. If it was up to me, where would that person be? That's the call of our life. We need to be heavenly minded because godly wisdom precedes temporal decisions. You think God's interested if you buy a vehicle? I think he is. I think buying a $100,000 vehicle you can't pay for might be a very bad decision because of what it might do for you. Yet, people get faced with that, right? Debt right now is at an all-time high. And things got fearful. Was it Friday that the market did the big, right? Ugly Friday, worst day ever, okay? And the believers said, it's all God's anyway. And the ungodly said, what am I going to do? I'd rather have somebody working with my money that was a godly person, right? That was investing my money, that was helping me with that, that sees that from an eternal perspective, right? Everything for Christ. New life is love God and fellowship, or we can have the dead relationship. I did threaten, by the way, to bring the pipe back. This is true. It's in the truck. I didn't bring it in today. Anyway, my wife said, I'm tired of being out of water. So these women, I just detach it, then I take it back in. The house is out of water. No, I did something I'm going to show you just a minute on the third page, and I'll tell you why. All right, so the spirit, the soul, the flesh, that's submitted. On the other side, we know I was going to bring the pipe, but that's okay. We'll talk about it. But basically, it's this, and we're going to go through this in just a minute. The fruit of the spirit versus the fruit of the flesh. This is my struggle, too. We need to turn on the right, and then I have a parenthesis there. I want you to write this in. E-A-O-U-S. Which spells? Righteous. This just hit me with that. What's the only vowel not listed in righteous in that last part that you added? I. There's no I in the end of righteous. There's right, and then there's the us. If I'm to be right in communion with God, it's us together, and there's no I when I'm in communion with God. Rebecca's laughing, so at least I did something right, okay? Momentary troubles, the kingdom unseen, right? We have to fix our eyes on the eternal. That gets tough. Because some days, it seems like everything's right in front of us. But yet we know if we fix our eyes on Jesus, right, the things of earth become strangely dim. We are citizens. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims. Pilgrims revealed by relational living. Are we constantly seeking to reach others for Him because we have spent time with Him? In fact, one of the compliments that the disciples get in the New Testament is people noticed that they had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great thing for people to say about us? They have been with Jesus. So we forsake then, we look at our soul, we set, and that blank there is our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our passions. That's the word that he's using there. Seek and set your mind on things above. That's not just thinking about it. It is, and we're going to get to that right at the end. How do I make sure my emotions, my willfulness, my volition, the things I want to do, all of those things are set on things above? Well, there's a couple of things we can do. Number one, we forsake all other relationships. Now that seems harsh, but if we read over in Matthew and Luke, he says, whoever does not hate, right? Mother, father, brother, sister. And he doesn't mean to hate them, because we know he tells us to love our neighbor. But what's he saying? The primary relationship is Christ. In fact, if it's not, we are idolaters. See, we still have a problem with idolatry today. It's anything that's above Him. We have to stay away just as the ancients did from idolatry. We may not carve it in wood, but we may be holding it in our hands. It may consume our thoughts all the time. We can't get away from it. It's anything that's in front of Him. We don't let anything get in front of that. Idolatry is adultery in relationship with God, and it begins with your next blank, backwards thinking. I brought the pipe, which I'd planned on. It begins by the flesh driving the soul instead of the spirit driving through to the soul. This was the thinking of Samson that cost him his eyes. By the way, I talked to somebody this week. Put two things in your mind. Guilt makes us live in the past. That's not from God. But God's not here just to say, just forget it. God operates on conviction, where we say, yes, I know what that was. I thank you for forgiving me, and I shall never walk that way again. Even Samson, as he was redeemed, right? And he said, Lord, just place me between those pillars. Even with his eyes out, right? And he brought that temple down to the Philistines. We need to tear down every worthless idol that would keep us from Him in this life. Again, fruits of the Spirit versus fruits of the flesh. Letter C there, it's not the object. I think that's what this whole book is about, is people struggled, right? Is it this kind of meat? Do I observe this kind of day? Do I? It's not the object in that blank, it's the objectifying. That's where we get in trouble. We put our focus on it instead of submitting it to God. You can have a $100,000 truck. Did you hear that, Michelle? You can have a $100,000 truck as long as it doesn't come before and you're not consumed by it, right? So, did you hear that, Michelle? Again, you can have a $100,000. All right. It's objectifying. It's how we hold things, how we view, how we consume is the issue. Romans 14:14 says this, I am fully persuaded in the Lord that nothing is unclean in itself. You want to know why you pray for meals? I try to pray no matter where we're at. When we're out, we're in public, everywhere we are, right? We hold hands because God can cleanse even what dirty hands have made. Even when we're doing things that we think are menial, even when you're painting things for VBS or whatever, God can cleanse that and use it for his purposes. So conviction, last kind of thing there, spirit to soul, no false humility imposed as guilt from the flesh. Where we do things, you guys ever do that? Oh, I'll do this. Oh, that'll relieve my conscience. If I do right, had somebody that told me was a businessman, and Jody, you don't share this because I think you know the story, but we don't tell names. But he was a non-believer, but he'd given some money to a church. Somebody had asked him why he did that, and he said, well, it doesn't hurt to cover all your bases. Folks, we need to confront people. So you're not cutting. There's no bases to cover, right? You either at home or you're somewhere out in the field. We don't know where you're at, okay? But it's either home or it's nowhere. Help people understand that from a gospel perspective. So how do we do this? And then we're going to go on to that third page. Let's kind of walk through the... My wife doesn't like this, how I stutter-step this, but this helps me. She's really clean. She kind of goes through these outlines. But number one, spirit builds relational faith and unites with. But let's stop right there. What do you mean, spirit builds relational faith? Romans 1:17 tells us this, that there is a faith to faith, right? 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of salvation to everyone that believes, right? Because we understand then that faith builds to faith. Well, what is that in that verse 17? It's God gives us the faith. We become justified in him. He does all of it. He opens our eyes to see him. And then as we are sanctified, we continue to see things more clear and more clear and more clear. He's done his part. Let's do our part and let the word wash over us and continue to teach us. Once we do that, number two, then this is what happens. The soul's mind unites with God's truth. Now all of a sudden, the truth is telling us how to see things, how to operate, how to work. Where should I go? What decision should I make? When that happens, number three, we get provoked to love and community. In fact, that's kind of where I think we are right now as a church. I think we're really starting to love and we're seeking to be around each other. Confession. There were some days I came to potluck. I shouldn't even tell this, Michelle, but I guess I would call it pot unlucky. I'd tell Michelle, I'm going to be so tired because I'm going to stay afterwards. We have to put all those chairs up. Then I got to get home. I got to feed the cows. And I get home and I'm just wore out. Because Sundays are one of those days where I try to take, right? I got to take some time to decompress. I don't feel that way anymore. Something is going on and I like it. Okay? But love and community. And then number four, as we do that, we have this unquenched thinking that leads to number four. We grow in godly understanding. We see it from God's perspective. And then guess what happens? We begin to submit to one another. Okay? If my wife and I disagree with something, if we will go back and each of us come with a godly understanding, all of a sudden that submission thing to each other is not too hard. But it's the fact that we get off track, we don't see it God's way. But when we begin to see that, that's what happens. We have unity in truth, not in flesh. We don't agree just because, well, we all have to get along. That's not what God says. He says we all agree in truth, and when that happens, we're all going to be unified in truth. That's what we have to have going forward. God is greater than our heart, our soul. So a couple of questions. Is the spirit operating, or is the flesh tossing my emotions? We're going to look at that in just a second. Is it the scripture, or is it, well, I think and I feel? Is it our soul armed with the tools to continually strive for perfection? And then down at the bottom, those three words that come out of that seek or set. If you want to write these in at the bottom, that Zeta, Zayin, and Zeto. Think about this. Complete, the middle one is armed, and the third one, Zeto, means continual battle. The work has been completed. I am armed to continue the battle every day. God is saying something really significant in those verses. It's not like, yeah, I sought you one time, God. It's this. It's a relationship. You continue, right? You hunger every day. Lord, help me to continue to see what that completion is in me. All right, let's flip to that third page. This is kind of a practical thing. I do this in one of my classes. It's fruits of the Spirit versus fruits of the flesh. Now, I use this honestly with behavior and classroom management, because what happens is we start realizing that we have something called counter feelings, which is we, all of a sudden, when you feel yourself getting angry, what you realize is I'm allowing this to push me a direction I do not want to go. And you got to tell yourself, I got to stop. So I want to use this just to kind of look at this chart, because I give it to the teachers. So number one, we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, but we know the fruit of the flesh is hostility. So when you feel yourself being hostile, or you know what, I'll give you an example. That's I go out in the woods and it's cold. Have you guys ever had this? Ralph, I know you probably, and you get it, you're walking through, you're deer hunting, right? And that branch comes back and it hits you in the face, right? And the next thing you know, half the branch is torn off the tree, right? And we blame the tree. We're the one walked into the tree, right? What is that revealing? It's me. The tree didn't do anything. And we do that with people all the time. Have you ever said this phrase, "You're making me angry"? Here's what you're really saying. I am so weak in soul that you are able to control me. That's what I tell the teachers, because when you look at the kids, "You're making me so angry." Oh, really? The child is in control of you now. Yeah, this is very uncomfortable, isn't it? We shouldn't say, yeah. That's what's happening. Why? There's an interesting concept in psychology, and it's this. Often in relationships, we'll use dating relationships. Let's pick on the kids for a minute. Boys, now you pay attention back here, okay? It's not always, you have to sort out, does the person really love me, right, when you're dating? Or what happens a lot of times is, does the person just want to capture my desire? That's what Delilah did to Samson. Delilah didn't love Samson, but she loved controlling, right? Or as the old rock and roll song says, "I want you to want me." If I can flip somebody to say, "I've captured your desire, I control you," that is a fruit of the flesh. That's not a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit says, "I love. I love as Christ loves. I want what's best for you. I will sacrifice for you." That's love. The other is manipulation. I won't go through all of these, but if you spend time and you look at these, you'll start realizing I'm getting manipulated. And I'm allowing circumstances, right? I'll pick on me. I get on the phone. I look and I go, "Minnesota Learing Centers, millions of dollars wasted." All of a sudden, I'm yelling at the phone. What just happened? I just allowed myself to what? I just got manipulated into anger. Now, I know we can't be, I'm still not happy about Learing Centers, and I want to tell you that. But what we should think about is, am I being pushed away from focusing on what is above, right? Seek and set your mind. That's what the Scripture says. I won't do all of these. Let's look at peace, okay? Peace is a twin meaning there. It's the tranquil, transformed soul. We have the peace with God, right? We were enemies of God. He brought salvation. We're no longer enemies. And now we have the peace of God. We're able to go through life because we know we have that blessed assurance, right? That's peace. If we look opposite of that, the anger is that internal. Have you met people like that? They're just, it's like they're angry the minute that you meet them. And it's provoked there because they don't know it, but they fear death and they fear eternity. And so what they have to do then is they got to get everything in life and they got to get it right now. And they're angry that anybody gets in their way. And sometimes we're like that too. You ever drive and get behind somebody that's going real slow? Right? You are impeding my path. Get out of my way. I'm glad that I don't have a truck with a plow. That would be bad. Right? Now what we're really saying is, you're getting in my way. And what we ought to say is, God has brought me peace. So let's go down to the bottom, the question. Am I being manipulated? Is man manipulated? Am I allowing other people to control me? Or, and this is a really good question, we probably ought to stop asking people, do you believe in Jesus? Very few people will say what? Nope, don't believe in him. I've had one person that was pretty strenuous with me about that. What we should say instead is this. How is Christ changing your life? How are you seeking what is above and it changes the way that you view earthly things? I hate teaching these things because it always comes back to me. This is going to happen as soon as I go home. The cows are going to be out. Fence is going to be tore up. Something's going to happen, right? Somebody's going to be slow in front of me, and I'm going to blame it on them or the circumstances. And the real problem is, it's me, and I'm not seeking what is above. The flesh provocation, then let's finish the last few blanks here. Flesh provocation must be met with spirit determination. I have to be determined to live in the spirit, not the flesh. And that chart right above here, and this is why I gave it to you. When you feel yourself under the flesh, look over to the other side and say, what does God intend? The next one. Every reaction is either a flesh response or a spiritual submission. I'm going to say